Today is November the 19th, and we're at 340 Camellia Drive in Charlottesville, Virginia. And I'm interviewing Mr. William Poole, William B. Poole, a former resident of Brownsburg. Mr. Poole, you want to tell us when you were born?
Yeah, I was born 1935. And I stayed at Brownsburg until 1954.
Okay. And were you born in Rockridge County?
In Rockridge County, okay. Yes.
And who were your parents?
Burgie Melton and Freya Poole.
And where did you live?
We lived on, what road is it, Roscoe?
Number
724.
Dutch Hollow Road.
Dutch Hollow Road.
Dutch Hollow Road,
right.
Before it was,
okay.
Where it's named at now.
Mm-hmm. And that's where your parents lived?
That's where my parents lived.
All right. And you had brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I had.
Who were they?
That was Carl, Roscoe, Bonnie, Lucy, Charlie, and myself.
Charlie is the contractor over there?
He's a builder.
Builder?
Yeah.
Long-time builder?
Right. Yeah.
And the rest of the family moved away pretty much?
Yeah, all of us moved away. I got a sister there at Middlebrook in Augusta County. And Roscoe is from Waynesboro. I guess I'm the furthest one away right now.
Okay. And so you lived in Brownsburg through when?
From 35 until 54. 19 years.
Okay.
About 19 years.
What's your first memory of Brownsburg?
Probably Sue Painter's store. And that's a long time ago.
Where was that?
That was right next to where the old Farm Bureau used to be, right across the road or street. I come out of Sue Painter's store eating a banana, my mom said, at 3. And she said, "Where'd you get that banana?" And I said, "Well, I got it there in the store." So come to find out, I just picked it up and started eating on it. So she went back in to pay for it, and Mr. Clint Troxler paid for it.
So would that store have been where the Old South Antiques?
That's where it's at right now, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And was that a general store?
That was a general store. Mm-hmm.
Were there other general stores?
Yeah, it was the Farm Bureau was there, and then Huffman's had a store. And then later on, John Layton
Weitzel.
Yeah, he was the last one that had a store up there, which they needed in Brownsburg, really.
Who were some of your neighbors?
That was Alton Sandridge and Tom Swisher, Charlie Sandridge, Arlen Poole.
So were you in a farming sort of situation?
Yeah, we had a little farm up there, okay. A couple hundred acres. Yeah, we farmed.
And I assume you attended some of the area schools?
Yeah, went to Brownsburg, the only school there, I reckon.
And what grades did you attend in Brownsburg?
1 through 12.
1 through 12. So you graduated from Brownsburg High School. Can you tell us the name of some of your teachers that you recall?
Yeah, just about all of them, I expect. Yeah. It was Miss Ward was the first grade teacher, and then Miss Whipple.
That's Molly Sue, wasn't it?
That's Molly Sue, and then the other Miss Whipple, that was Doug's wife. That was, she was the librarian, Miss Lowe, Miss Williams, Miss Dan Berger, he was the principal. And let's see, Miss McManus, Miss Jones, Mr. Lindsay, Mr. Woody, who was the agriculture teacher. Right. Yeah, I can remember just about all of them.
Now, what year did you start? Do you recall what year you started? Approximately.
I had to be, well, I was born in March, so it was probably 1941.
41 you started?
Yeah, I guess.
And what year did you graduate then?
54.
54, mm-hmm. Okay. Do you have any experiences at the school that you'd like to tell us about?
Well, some of them I don't even want to mention. Yeah, we had a good time at school. We had a good time at school. We went on a field trip one time with the agriculture teacher.
With Mr. Woody?
We went to a farm, had bullfrogs on it, so old Colonel Sanders, myself, and Lunsford lives right up from you.
Walter.
Yeah, we all put frogs in our pockets, and we took them out, put them in the school, and one started croaking, and then they all started croaking. And the principal was throwing them out the windows. So we never did go on any more field trips.
How old were you when that was going?
We were probably 15.
15, okay.
14, 15.
Okay. How did you get to and from school?
Bus. We went by bus. Yeah, Bud Wade was the driver.
Bud Wade was?
He owned the bus. He ran a barber shop there in Brownsburg for quite a few years.
That's where the pool hall was, or was that a separate location?
Yeah, no, that was where the pool hall was, I reckon.
So the barber shop and the pool hall were in the same
building, I guess. Yeah.
And how big were the classes?
Well, our class wasn't but 17.
17.
17 in our class. Because that's when they put the 8th grade in, you had to take the 8th grade.
Okay. So you took the 8th grade along with the rest of it. Okay. And if you were engaged, your family is at a small farm.
Mm-hmm.
Can you describe the type of farming activities that
it
were going on?
Cattle. Daddy raised cattle and the grain, we raised all the grain, we fed the cattle, and hay, put up our own hay.
And did you raise any crops?
Yeah, wheat, corn, barley, alfalfa. He had his alfalfa field for the sheep. He wanted that hay for them.
So you had sheep as well as cattle?
Yeah, sheep and cattle. He had a few hogs.
And did the whole family help out on that operation, or were everybody involved? What did you do?
Most of us, well, after come home from work, well, I had a couple of little calves that I bought and feeding by bucket. But yeah, you had your work to do and wood to get in. You didn't have to be told to do it.
So there was always something to do.
Yes, always something to do.
Did you have a lot of mechanized equipment to help on the farm, like tractors and
things? Not at first, no. Okay. Horses.
Horse operation?
Yeah, first? Two sets of horses and a set of mules. And then we finally Charlie got an arm-wheel tractor. I don't remember what the name of it was.
When do you think you first got any kind of mechanized equipment? Approximately.
It wasn't much before I left.
Really?
No. We've done it all by hand.
Yeah. Okay. And the animals, you had horses, mules, and
cattle, sheep,
cattle,
hogs,
sheep, hogs,
chickens.
Chickens.
Yeah. Yeah, you raised your, most of all your food was raised. You had a garden, we canned it in the winter, for the winter.
So you had everything that you came off of the farm.
That's right, come off the land, yeah. Except for the coffee and sugar, and then at that time it was rationed then.
That was during World War II.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right. Did you attend any of the area churches?
First Presbyterian, when we got to go, because Daddy never did drive at all.
Oh, really?
No, he never wanted to drive. So, if you went, you had to go
my older brothers or herself and dad would ever go.
So now, where was that located?
That First Presbyterian.
In?
In Brownsburg.
Are you talking about New Providence?
New Providence. That's right. You're right.
So, in order to go to church, you had to have either somebody else take you.
A neighbor take you, or you went
with
the wagon or something.
Okay.
But very seldom daddy would go that way.
Do you remember any of the ministers at New Providence?
Reverend Hutchinson was a minister that we got married there in the church.
Okay.
That was in 58.
58, you got married.
58, mm-hmm. After coming back from service. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And did your wife go to New Providence?
Yeah, she went to New Providence. Uh-huh.
She was from where?
She was from Newport News. Newport.
Newport.
Up the road from Brownsburg.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So she came to, is that how you met her?
No, no.
How did you meet?
Well, I was getting ready to go overseas, and Clyde Sandridge and her and Dorothy Miller was taking me back to the bus station, and I asked her to give me her address, and I'd give her, write her a letter. So that's how we met.
So you went into World War II?
No,
Korean War.
So yeah, that was brother, Carl, he was in World War II.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So was that that was after you graduated from high school?
Yeah, graduated 1 week, the next week I was gone. They drafted you.
Mm-hmm. So you got drafted?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that would have been, what, 54? 54?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 54.
All right. Tell us about your military service.
Well, they said my sister's boy and I would stay together all the time was in service. And of course, we both joined the Navy. And we finished up after boot camp, 3 months in boot camp. And we said, they called his name out. He'd going to Norfolk, Virginia. And I punched him on the side, which I wasn't supposed to do. And I said, well, we'll be home next weekend. They called my name out in Naples, Italy. So I didn't see him for 2 years. That's just the way it was.
Where was boot camp?
Bainbridge, Maryland. Yeah.
And so then you spent 2 years in Italy?
No, I caught a ship there. I was supposed to catch a ship. And I got to Italy after 36 hours on planes. And got there, and the ship had gone to France. So I had to go back to the airport and try to get a flight out to go to France. And I went to France and caught it. I was still 60 miles from the ship from the airport. So after about 2 weeks, I guess, I finally caught the ship.
What was the name of the ship you were on?
The first one was the Coral Sea Aircraft Carriers.
The aircraft carrier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, and then where'd you go after you got on the boat?
We spent 6 months overseas all the time. Each trip you went, you had 6 months duty.
And what parts of the world did you go to?
All the Mediterranean.
All the Mediterranean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In fact, then I transferred to another ship, and that was an aircraft carrier, and that's where John McCain went off of, where he didn't come back.
Oh, really?
That's where he was shot off of, shot down.
So was that into the Vietnam era?
No, that was in Korea? That was in, yeah, he was in
he
Vietnam
was in
at that time, but he was on the same ship that I was on.
I see.
Yeah.
What was the name of that boat?
That's Forrestal, USS Forrestal.
So how long were you in the service then?
4 years.
4 years.
Yeah.
All in the Navy and all in aircraft carriers.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
All right, you said your father didn't drive. Well, when did the family first own an automobile?
I don't think Daddy ever owned one, ever.
No.
Did he?
Well,
maybe Rocco and Carl had one, but Daddy never did own one, I don't imagine.
Well, he bought it.
So when did they first begin to use automobiles then, in the family?
Lord, in my time, it was when I was in school.
In high school, in
middle high school, probably.
Right. So after World War II?
Yeah.
But not before?
No.
Like during World War II, you didn't have a car?
Not that I knew of. Yeah. No.
Okay.
Well, Carl Roscoe there, probably Roscoe there, had a car at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't remember that of him on the
car. So if you had to go somewhere, like if you wanted to go to Lexington or Stanton, how did you get there?
One of the boys, one of the brothers.
Brothers are, mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go to Lexington or Stanton very often?
Maybe once a month or once every 2 months. That's
and,
it.
And why did you go to Lexington or Stanton?
Maybe just to get, sometimes at Christmas time, mm-hmm. But there at Christmas, my poor mother put the, in Charlie's car, she brought us the little things for Christmas, and she put it in a car exactly like Charlie had. So that year we didn't get nothing for Christmas. Somebody drove off with their Christmas presents.
Now, at one time there was a train that ran through Raphine and Fairfield to Lexington. Did you ever have any experience using that?
Now, we did catch a train over to Steele's Tavern to get fertilized for the farm.
And where did that train go to?
Steele's Tavern on into Lexington, I suppose.
Okay. So you could get
fertilizer
and steel.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Went over there with horse and wagon.
Was there any kind of bus service available?
No buses. No. I remember when we got electricity.
You do? Okay, I was going to get to that question. How did you and your family keep up with what was going on in the county, the state, the United States, or the world in general?
Radio. That was it. Radio.
So you listened to radio all the time, pretty much?
Well, he was listening to the news, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dad always wanted to listen to his news.
Okay, now this is a broad question, but what individuals, male or female, stand out in your memory from growing up or living in Brownsburg, and tell us why? Anybody in particular that you remember who either is still around or not around?
Well, Miss Whipple that lived right down from a school, or Fred Whipple's wife, she was always good to me. I'd always, at lunchtime, I'd go feed and water her chickens. And that was a deal just to get away from school grounds, I guess, for a few minutes.
Whose chickens did you feed?
Miss Whipple's.
Miss Whipple's.
Miss Fred Whipple's.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you fed her chickens?
Yeah, at lunchtime.
At lunchtime.
Yeah.
Anybody else you think of?
Not really.
Strongly? Okay.
Oh, John Lane Weitzel down in the store. We'd always go in there after school.
So his store was open?
Yeah, after I bought an old Model A, well, we'd stop by his store all the time.
Was that a gathering point for a lot of people?
Yeah, all the people gathered in there and sit on the bench there in the store and talk.
Did you go there in the evening at all?
No, not at night. At night you had work to do it on the farm.
Well, if you lived in Brownsburg during World War II, which you did, do you have any special recollections of what it was like at that time? What were there any special things that happened during World War II that you recall? Things that you ever had to deal with? Or
the only thing I can remember when Carl come back, Mom had a dinner for him when he come back. Mm-hmm. And I think it's about 60 people there when Carl come back from overseas.
Okay. And where was he overseas?
He was in all the wars over there. Okay. Czechoslovakia, Germany.
He was in Europe.
Yeah.
And was he there in the war the whole time?
Yeah, he was there. Well, he's been there for 2 years. He was there for three.
Mm-hmm.
But they would Red Cross would come around and put a tag on your window if you had a serviceman in the service then.
Yeah.
And then they put one on there when he was missing for quite a while. That, I mean, I was a kid, but I still remember it.
He was missing for a while?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And was he ever prisoner of war? Or?
No, okay. No. He come out of some way.
Okay. Did rationing affect your family in any way? Or?
No. The only thing we could get was sugar and coffee. And we did have so much of that was rationed that I remember.
What changes, good or bad, have you seen take place in Brownsburg area during the time you lived there?
Well, Brownsburg was a nice little town. When we come up, it was three stores, a post office, a barber shop, a bank. Telephone office was above a bank. So it's a pretty thriving little town at that time. And then since then, it's like everything else. It's gone by the wayside sometimes,
right.
I think. Of course, a lot of them I still know there, and a lot of them died off, too.
And you mentioned you recall when electrification got started.
Yeah, I remember when we got lights. Yeah,
right.
Sure do.
When was that, do you think? When approximately was that?
Probably 45, maybe 50. 40, no, it couldn't have been 50. It was in the 40, early 40s.
Was it during World War II?
Yeah.
Prior to that time, what was it like? How did you operate without electricity?
Coal oil lamps.
Coal lamps.
Yeah.
What's your recollection about that? Did you have to study by coal lamps? Do your homework?
Well, we got electricity while I was in school, early school. But we had coal oil lamps there at the house at all times in too far places.
So was the electricity appreciated when it came?
Yeah, I would say so. Yes, definitely.
Change things around,
yeah.
Did the school have electricity at all times?
Yes, it did.
When you went there?
Yeah, it did.
So were there areas that had electricity and areas that didn't have?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we back off the road. The further you live back off the road, I guess the less electricity.
How about telephones? When did they start?
That started after I left finished school.
Really? Didn't get a telephone until after?
Well, not, we didn't.
You didn't?
We didn't. Their neighbors had telephones. And if there's anything wrong, we'd go to the neighbor and she would call for the doctor or whatever was necessary.
Sort of community phones.
It was totally community and doggone good neighbors at that time.
Right.
Yeah.
But there was
everybody helped each other.
But there was a telephone branch office in Brownsburg.
Yeah, it was up over the bank.
Over the, where the bank used to be.
Yeah, and I forget the two little ladies that operated it.
One of them was a Wade, one of the Wades.
Jen Wade.
No, it wasn't Jen, her sister. I should remember.
You're right on that. It was a Wade.
One of them was a Wade, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
The place where the museum is going to be operating, you know where that
is? Yeah, right across from where the Farm Bureau was, I know.
Yeah. Somebody said that was a location for a telephone company or for the telephone company at one time.
Now that I don't remember.
Do you remember how that building was used?
No, that was a house as far as I knew.
Just as a house?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because Whipples lived
right next door.
Right next door to it, yeah.
It was between Whipple's
and Huffman's
and
store.
Huffman's store, yeah. Mm-hmm. How about the paving of the roads? When did that occur?
It was still a dirt road where we lived on when I left.
In 54?
In 54, yeah.
Dutch Hollow Road.
That Dutch Hollow Road was a dirt road, yeah. Yeah, all the way through.
Do you remember when any particular roads were paved, like in Brownsburg itself, or?
Well, Brownsburg was paved. Brownsburg was paved when I grew up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it paved all the way to New Providence?
Yeah, it was. When I came along, yeah.
Some people have said it was only paved for part of the way. It ended after you left Brownsburg.
Well, now it could have gone out to, who lived there?
Out towards 39.
Yeah, that would be...
Reese's
lived out that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Cunningham sisters.
Right. Did you go out? Was that all that area paved?
That was paved as far as I can remember.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you've mentioned previously the businesses that existed in the Brownsburg area when you were growing up or lived in Brownsburg. How did they affect your family? Did you all patronize those businesses?
Yeah, you had to. That was the only place you could go.
And what were the differences, say, between Stupinger's and
Weitzel's? Weitzel and Swope's.
Where was Swope's?
That was in the soup pattern store after that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And they all had about the same thing.
But you patronize all of them.
Well, most of the time, yeah. Then that last John Layton was the only one, which was wonderful,
right. Really. And did they all have gas stations? I don't know if Supingers did.
Supingers had one pump, or maybe Carl Swope put that in after that, just one pump there. Huffman's had one pump, one or two pumps. And then later on, John Layton got a pump or two.
Yeah.
So
it wasn't too far to get gasoline.
No, not if you could get there. But we didn't really need it. Without an automobile, it didn't need no gas. Right.
Did you have any special experiences with any of those businesses? Various people said they worked for them at different times.
No, never did. No, never did work for any one of them. No.
And besides the stores, maybe mentioned the bank, telephone company, were there any other stores or
barbershop,
commercial?
No commercial, no. All privately owned.
Well, the farm store was there. That was
yes.
A branch of the farm.
Farm Bureau.
Farm
yes.
Bureau.
Yeah, that was there.
When did that close? If you know.
Probably in the 60s.
In the 60s. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a broad question, too, but what stands out in your memory as the most significant or important event or events that occurred in Brownsburg during the time you lived in that area?
Well, probably the baseball, things like that.
All right, tell us about the baseball.
You had
what kind?
High school baseball.
So it was a high school team?
High school, yeah.
Were
high
you on the team?
Football,
did you play
football,
on this?
Baseball. Basketball.
They all had.
I wasn't good at it, but they kept me on the team.
So the school had all kinds of all those typical sports.
Yeah.
High school sports.
But you had to walk after you got out playing or practicing. You had to walk home, which is about 5 miles.
Well, did they play football right up there at the school?
Yeah, they had a football team, but now we didn't have any uniforms. The principal sold the uniforms. And took the money as Stockton was the principal, if I recall.
He sold the uniform.
He sold everything he could get his hands on, I think.
What was the purpose of him selling all that?
I guess he wanted the money. Yeah.
So, well, did
so
they,
we had to play without uniforms 1 year. That's good.
And who did you play? I mean, other schools?
East Ocean, Fairfield.
Now, this was at the high school level?
Yeah, this is high school. Yeah. Ocean, Fairfield. It was Covington. No, it wasn't Covington. It wasn't that far away. Clifton Fords, maybe.
Lexington.
But most of the schools right around there.
Right. And did you travel to other schools to play football?
Oh yeah. Went by bus.
Took you by bus.
Yeah.
And they played basketball there too, right in the school in the gymnasium.
Yeah.
What other events took place on the gymnasium floor? Besides sports. Were there dances?
They had dances. Donkey basketball. If you wanted to ride the suckers.
Could you participate in various club activities at school?
Yeah, we had...
What else did you have?
We had... Yeah, you had an activity if you wanted to get involved in it.
That was after classes?
After classes or at... Or they may have a... We was on a patrol and things like that for the bus system.
I see. Did they have a school newspaper, a school yearbook?
A yearbook that we had, yes. Okay. Yes, we had it. Mm-hmm. It was a little annual every year.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, how about in the summertime? What did you all do in the summertime way of recreational activities?
Not much of anything. You worked on the farm
was,
in the summertime.
Was the ballpark over at Busselburg operating?
Yeah, that came along later I was a teenager because it went over to my brother's, Carl, and stayed all night. We'd work on a baseball field on Fridays and Saturday morning, and they'd play baseball.
That was over at Busselburg.
Yeah, they had probably up to a couple thousand people come out there at them ball games at that time.
Mm-hmm.
That was.
So that was a
fairly big thing. And
yeah.
In that area.
How about the horse show? Did you participate in any way in the horse show?
No, I didn't. Wally Poole, he was always into that.
Now what relation are you to Wally?
He's my, second cousin?
Okay.
I guess.
Right. Just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah.
Any other activities that you can think of? Did the church have activities that you...
Not that I participated in.
Okay.
No.
Right.
It was just too far away to go and no way to get there.
Yeah. All right, and you've already done this once, but do you have any stories, humorous or otherwise, that you'd like to tell us about your experiences in Branchburg?
No, I think I better lay off of that.
No, that's all right. This is not, we don't censor anything, so if you'd like to tell us anything. Now, the Poole family, how long do you think they've been in the Brownsburg area? Does it go back before your parents? Did you have grandparents who lived here, there?
No.
So do you know where the Pools came? How did they get to Brownsburg?
I've been Wythville or somewhere. Been there.
Wythville.
Grayson County.
So they came up here from there.
Yeah, that's where. Yeah.
That's interesting. Usually it's the other way around.
Wagon come down when he bought the farm, I understand.
So how long had... did your parents... move here from somewhere else, or were they?
It's over at Craigsville. Had a little farm over there.
Where's that?
Craigsville.
Uh-huh. Craigsville?
Uh-huh.
Augusta County.
Yeah, from Augusta County.
So they moved here from Augusta County.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And do you know about when that was?
Mm-hmm. I don't.
You know when that was, Frosco?
Oh, it was in Esteline Valley.
And
the farm was. Dad worked at Lehigh Portland Cement Company.
I see. And so when did they move over here?
They moved in April of, let's see, I was 6 years old, 26.
1926.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Moved from there. They wasn't in Craigsville all that long.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Are you aware of any family members who served either the Revolutionary War or Civil War?
No.
Okay. Any other subjects that you'd like to mention or tell us about regarding life in Brownsburg? That's an open-ended question.
Not that I know of. No.
Was your experience growing up in Brownsburg a good one?
No, it was real good. Real good. Yeah.
Made lots of friends.
A lot of friends, a lot of good neighbors. Because your neighbors looked after each other.
Right.
It was all one. It wasn't just one person.
Right.
Yeah.
Had to rely on
somebody
each other.
Somebody needed help, but you wouldn't help them.
Right.
Yeah. And that's just the way it was then.
Right.
Yeah. Which was wonderful.
And, you moved away because of job opportunities?
Job, and then I went to service.
After the service, when you came back out after the service, that was what, like
1958. Uh-huh.
Did you come back to Brownsburg at that time?
No, I moved to Waynesboro where Roscoe was.
Okay.
My brother.
All right, and when did you get married?
58.
So yeah. You got married about the same time. After a
couple months before I got out of service.
Oh, you got married before you got out of service.
Just a couple months.
Uh-huh. Okay. And then you moved to Waynesboro when you got out of the service.
Mm-hmm. Sure did.
And how long did you live in Waynesboro then?
5.5 years.
5.5 years. Mm-hmm. And then you...
My job brought me over here.
And then your job brought you to Charleston.
Yeah.
Who are you working for?
I work at the spectacle shop now 3 days a week.
Okay.
Or 3 days.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to thank you for your participation in this interview.
You're certainly welcome. You're
and,
certainly welcome. I'm glad you come over.
Well, I had to come over anyway.
Joan said to tell you hello, my wife.
She said she might be home, but she might not be here. Do you know the name? Would you like to suggest the names of any other persons that we should interview? Roscoe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he's about covered everything.
That's why I asked him to come over.
Well, Roscoe, since you're here, let's see how much time we got left. We're doing all right. So I've got 38 minutes. I'll just tell us what your full name is.
Roscoe Melton Poole, better known as Jack.
Jack, okay.
That's the only name I'm known by in Rockbridge.
All right. And your Bill's brother.
Right.
Right. And you were born in Brownsburg also? Or
no,
in
I was
Rockbridge.
Born in Craigsville.
In Craigsville. So you were born before your family moved to Brownsburg area.
Right. Yeah, I was born in 1920. We've been in, I don't know how long we've been in Craigsville, about 3 or 4 years, I reckon, before I was born. And that's, my stay there was pretty short, like 6 years. I was 6 years old when we left Craigsville.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And how many children were born in Craigsville besides yourself?
Three of us.
Three of you.
And three of them in the Rockford.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And so how old were you when your family moved to Rockridge?
I was six.
Six mm-hmm. years old. So then you attended Brownsburg School as well.
Oh, yeah.
And what year did you graduate?
I graduated, I think, in 41.
41, all right.
Mm-hmm. Took me a while.
Well, that's right. But you went all the whole.
Oh yeah, I got the whole smear.
Whole number of grades. Except they probably didn't have the eighth grade at that time?
No, no, it didn't have eighth grade.
All right. And were the teachers the same as Bill mentioned, or that you had, or were there other teachers that you can think of?
Well, things were pretty much as Billy mentioned. Of course, I'm how much older? I'm 88.
Well, what I'm thinking of, were there different teachers?
Oh, well, yes, some degree. Miss Osha Trimmer was the principal.
Well, now I've heard her name mentioned many times.
She was the finest.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, she was mean as a snake, too. But she was a good one.
Everybody that I've interviewed who mentions her name said she was very strict.
Very strict, and she was had your whole business, you know, she wanted you to learn everything.
Yeah.
She was good.
And
she was an old maid.
Yes, was. But she lived right there in Brownsburg, didn't she?
Yes, she did. And well, she wasn't a native of Brownsburg, but
no.
She came there in the season.
And were there any other teachers that you remember particularly from the time you went there?
Well, of course, our coaches, I remember them.
Who were
him, they? Rather, Lunsford, Al Lunsford.
Now, which Lunsford is that?
Well, he's not kin to any of the Lunsfords around there. He's from Alabama.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
And what did he coach? Everything?
He coached everything, baseball, basketball, football, track.
Right.
Yeah.
And did you participate in those activities?
I participated in all of them.
How about the other things? Any other activities that you want to mention that went on during your recollection?
Well, the thing that sticks out in my mind is when they went off of the selling alcohol, you know, that changed that when I was a youngster.
So,
and
that's during the prohibition period.
The prohibition period, but when they went off probation,
then liquor came back.
You could go to Brownsburg on Saturday night and watch the Saturday night fights before television came around.
And where did they occur?
Well, on Saturday nights.
At some particular location, or was just anywhere?
No, it just all depends on where they happened to see one another. They didn't pick any location. They weren't
prearranged.
They weren't prearranged, and they weren't concerned about where it might happen.
And were these just how did these fights occur? Would it just be somebody had a grudge against somebody else, or?
Well, you know, they get a few beers, and
or
it
as
like
a result of the alcohol.
That was the only reason they had to fight. So they got pretty rowdy, but we'd go out there and then we'd, you know, get to see them.
Yes.
Then we'd go home and forget about it.
Now, there was another church that I've heard mentioned that was really on the property where we now live.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
Miss Morris.
Yeah. All right. Tell us about what your recollection of that church is, if any.
Well, I don't know. I forget what denomination they called it. I'm sure there's some people up there can tell you, but Miss Morris was one fine individual.
And she was a sort of a minister?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I figured if she prayed for me to die, I'd start combing my hair. Yeah. Get ready to go. Yeah.
Did a lot of people attend that church?
No. No, very, very few. Mm-hmm. Very, very few. We'd drop in there once in a while and listen to her. Mm-hmm. And we had a lot of regard for her.
One other thing I forgot to mention to Bill, and he can add whatever he wants to add about this. What were the relationships with the black people in Brownsburg? What were yours or anybody else's? Was the relationship a good one, or did they participate in things?
It seemed to me that, you know, they were there and I accepted it. So forth. I thought their little school down there was pretty lousy.
Yeah, where was that?
Where? That was down in it was right there near or in that little log house down there toward the creek from Superior Store.
Okay.
It's on that side street.
I've had others describe it as being in a building that was a cannery.
Yeah. I don't know what was in there before that. The school had always
been. Do you remember the cannery?
I remember the cannery.
No, I didn't remember that.
That was during World War II, apparently. And Mr. Woody had something to do with it.
Yeah, I remember the cannery there at one time. Then it closed that down and went to Middlebrook.
Well, some people said that was the location of the black school.
Could have been.
Very well.
Right down from the Superior store.
How many black people were there, numbers-wise, more or less?
It would be hard for me to say. But there was a pretty good sprinkling of black people there.
Did they work in homes and on the farms?
They worked in homes. They worked on the farms and whatever they could find to do. Of course, times then you had to accept whatever came along. But
there, would you describe the relationship as good, bad?
Oh, well, I would talk to them. I'd see them and talk to them, carry on a conversation with them. And my relationship with them was no problem whatsoever. Okay.
All right. Just trying to think of other things. Were there any other stores or commercial establishments that you recall other than what Bill has mentioned?
No, we came to Brownsburg in 26, I guess it was.
All right, now there's one period I wanted to ask, and it didn't seem to apply to Bill. Do you have any special recollections of the Depression years?
Oh, yeah.
All right, tell us what your recollections
are. I'm familiar with that. Well, you know, as a youngster, we accepted it, what it was. Dad had gone in debt for the farm to some degree. He didn't know a whole lot, but we managed to pay for it during the recession, or depression, we called it.
Yeah.
And it was tough. We could tell, you know, just a youngster that, you know, when we were 8 years old, we were up at out in the field at 7 o'clock in the morning, and come in for lunch, and then stay till 6 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And we got it taken care of.
So you pretty much had to raise all your food products on your own.
Oh yeah. You know, it was 10 cents a pound, and that's about the price of everything.
Did anybody get involved with any of the New Deal programs like CCC?
Oh, we had people that were interested in the New Deal, but we weren't. They thought the New Deal was great, and it helped some people. But then...
But your family didn't have any special involvement with that.
They had to do something with the Depression.
Mm-hmm.
And not knowing what to do, well, then some of the things were good and some of them weren't any good at all.
All right, do you have any special stories you want to tell us?
I don't think so.
I'm being out of the room, you can tell it.
we used to do a lot of walking on the Sundays, you know, when we didn't have to go to work.
Right.
Well, we would walk down the Goshen Pass and go swimming.
Really, you walked that far?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And this sort of thing, whatever we could find to do. I walked over on Walker's Creek to the Presbyterian Church for a good long while until I got my catechism, and I was proud of that, so I quit walking so far. and I left Rockbridge in 1942.
So you left in 42? Where did you go at that
point? I went back to Craigsville to the bank and spent 2 years there. Then I went to Waynesburg to the bank. And
you worked at the bank in Craigsville. Which bank was that? Was there a Bank of Craigsville?
It was the only one there, but it was the Bank of Craigsville.
Okay.
It was a thriving community then because we had the three mills there, one at Goshen, one at Craigsville, and one at Augusta Springs. And they hired a lot of people in Lehigh.
Right.
And so it was a thriving community then.
Right.
But now it's
Not much better than Brownsburg now.
Oh, it's not good. I feel sorry for those people.
Yeah. So then you went to Waynesboro from Craigsville.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been to Waynesboro ever since.
Right. Citizens Bank, and that's where I retired from. Okay. Changed names any number of times. And it's now the Bank of America. And I enjoyed it. I was in lending for the most part.
Okay.
And I enjoyed it a lot. Working with the public.
Are you married?
Oh, yeah.
Did you marry somebody from the Brownsburg area?
Mm-hmm.
Who was that?
Musselburg, Wade.
Wade? You married Wade? What was her name?
Mary Frances Wade.
Mary Frances Wade.
There's four of those girls.
She related to any of the Wades that are in Brownsburg now, like Jim Wade?
No, she was related to the Wades of the what am I trying to say?
Musselburg. So a different branch of the family.
Yeah, oh yeah. And so they were members down at Bethesda Presbyterian Church and also at McAlee Chapel.
Right.
And
did you go to New Providence?
I went some. I went with the Cale family that lived up north of us there in the Dutch Hollow. And I went with them quite a bit.
I see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had great folks in Dutch Hollow. They were the best. I've often thought of wondering what in the world I could do for them to repay them.
Is there anybody else that you think we should interview that you would know about? Either whether they live there now or live somewhere else, who grew up in Brownsburg?
Well, we had a one-room school that I went to through the fourth grade up in Dutch Hollow.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Now, where was that located?
Well, are you familiar with Dutch Hollow?
A little bit.
Yeah. Well, when you go across the hill to go over into Dutch Hollow,
right. Then
it was all up the north end.
Okay.
And we walked up there to school.
So how big a school was that?
Just a one-room school. I guess there were about 15 students, 16, something like that.
And was it a log building?
No, it wasn't a log building.
A frame building.
No.
Who was the teacher?
The last teacher I went to was Thelma Leach. And the first one I went to was Ms. Quiz. Was he Quisenberry? I can't remember what it was anymore. But Thelma Leach was one great teacher. She was wonderful.
And let me ask you that. How many students would be there?
About 15 or 16.
15 or 16. All from the Dutch Hollow.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so then... Then you went from there to Brownsburg after the fourth grade?
Yeah, that's when they closed it up. And
so they closed it up?
Yeah. And they started running the buses, so then we started doing that. Of course, I rode the bus most of the time. Sometimes I walked home from school because they punished me. Yeah.
I will ask what they punished you for.
Well, I don't even remember. I was pretty decent in school. I knew when I got home if I had trouble, well, then I had trouble both ends.
Right. So prior to their closing that one-room school down, would you have kept on going there if that school had stayed open?
Yes, I would have kept going.
For how long? Through high school? Or?
No, I think they went through the seventh grade, maybe.
So the first seven grades, and then you would go to Brownsburg for the high school.
Yeah, you would have had to.
Had to. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So when would that have closed down, approximately?
Well, my first year at Brownsburg was in the fifth grade. So, 32, it must have been 32 or 33.
During that period of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's interesting, I didn't know that.
I don't remember it either.
Yeah, we had the Egg Johns, and we had to go to the spring down at the neighbors down there below the school and get water to drink. We teacher would send us to get a bucket of water. And
so it was just one teacher there?
Right. Yeah.
And well, that's very interesting.
We had a little outside playground about as big as this yard, I reckon. Or half as big. And so we played baseball and that sort of thing at recess.
Well, is there anything else you want to tell us about your experiences growing up in the Brownsburg area or during your time you lived there?
I don't believe so. I like the folks there. I worked at the store some.
What store did you work in?
Whipple's.
Whipple's?
Yeah.
And what did you do there?
I just opened it up in the mornings and then I'd go to school. And I got my leg tore up in my first year of football, so working on the farm wasn't too good.
No.
And so we had uniforms.
Before the uniforms were sold.
Right.
Who was running Weitzel's at that time? John Layton?
Running Weitzel's store?
Yeah.
No, his dad ran it and ran the funeral home.
That's a, for a while there was a joint operation, a funeral home and a store, right?
Right.
Okay. I interviewed John Layton earlier, and it's a little bit confusing as to, the store was closed at different times, apparently.
Yeah.
Periods of time it was open and periods of time it was closed, mm-hmm. And, you know, it was a lot of back and forth.
It was back and forth, yeah.
Where was Whipple's store, Roscoe?
Huh?
Where was Whipple's store?
That's where the Farm Bureau
was. Oh, okay.
Was.
All right. Yeah, I didn't remember that.
Well, was that before the Farm Bureau?
Yeah. Right. I'd go down there, start the fire in the morning, and stay open until school time. I stayed up at Doug Whipple's. He was working in Winchester, and I stayed up at Miss Whipple. There were two little girls. And then I'd work in the store in the evening. People then would come sit in the stores.
Right.
Right. And I would sit there and yawn and everything, but they'd still sit there.
One other thing I forgot to mention, answer, or about the post office. Where was the post office located when y'all were growing up?
I was trying to think of that myself.
It was in the Bosworth store.
Bosworth store. Now, there's another store, though.
Yeah.
Now, where was that?
That was directly across the road from the service station. In that old white farm building, frame building.
From which service station?
Huffman's.
Huffman's?
Huffman's.
Across the road from Huffman's.
Mm-hmm.
Next to the bank,
yeah.
Next to where the bank is.
Yeah.
Next to where the bank is.
South side of the bank. And the Bosworths had their home right there next to the
Well, no, there's a telephone company building right next to the pool hall. Where was this Bosworth store in relation to? Where was it in relation to the pool hall and the barber shop?
Well, I'm a little lost as to where the pool hall and the barber shop was in that area.
I think that's where Bud Wade had his barber shop. Pool table in there, and right next to the bank.
Right next to the bank. Right.
Yeah. Well, that was that right was next before, to the pool hall. Then.
That was after.
So Bosworth's store would have been where?
Before.
Before that.
Yeah.
Before the pool hall and the barbershop.
Yeah.
But in that same building.
Yeah.
Okay.
May have been in the same building.
Okay.
But that's where the post office was then. Then he carried the small line. Groceries, not very much. Tommy was in my class at school. He graduated and went on, I think, to become a doctor.
Tommy
Bosworth. Yeah. But he's passed away.
He passed away recently. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So after that was the post office located, do you all remember the post office being in the Weitzel store?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that happened pretty early on, too, didn't it?
Yeah, that was...
After Bosworth, you think?
Yeah, after Bosworth.
Went to Weitzel's.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to thank you again, both of you, for all your help in this process.
And, good to see you again, too.
I didn't want to get it off my chest for a long time.
But if there's anything else you all think of, feel free to let it loose at this time.
Yeah, well.
And again, if there's anybody that you all think we should interview, we're trying to interview as many different folks who either lived in Brownsburg, worked in Brownsburg, or, you know, had some connection to Brownsburg, either now or previously.
Well, I've been gone for so long until the people that I knew, most of them have passed on now.
Right.
And,
well, let me ask you another, both of you, since I got to know him so well myself. Pete Carwell. Do you have any recollections of his whole shop up there? He had an automobile repair shop at one time?
Yeah. Pete had his own little shop. If he liked you, he liked you. If he didn't like you, you didn't go there.
Right.
That's the way I felt.
Yeah, he sold gasoline too, didn't he?
I think he did at one time. I believe. I don't remember that. I don't remember it.
When I first came here, I think there was an old pump up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know he had a sign up there. I believe it said, if you want to work on your car, do it at home.
Right.
It's still there. I always stopped by to see him when I went over to the old trailer there before I got over there. He'd be out there on his porch. And I always stopped. He was always nice to me.
Yeah,
he'd give me the old stove. As I got in the trailer now, he'd give me the old stove. He said, you don't have nothing to eat on. So take that thing.
Yeah, he was a good man.
And Herb, his son, Herb was good to Pete.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you have any recollection of when that his house burned down?
Yeah, it burned down. It was an order. He ordered the house. I was Sears Roebuck.
Well, the house that's there now is a Sears Roebuck house.
It is. Yeah.
But prior to that, there was a fire and they lost a child.
Yeah, he lost his daughter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's too bad.
Were there other disaster incidents like that that occurred in Brownsburg?
Well, I used to have to take a basket of eggs and walk 5 miles to the store.
And they sold them
that
there?
That was a disaster.
They all didn't get there. They all didn't get there?
Yeah, they got there. Really, I'd rather do that than walk to the store than to be able to feel working.
Right.
So then I may have gotten a pack of chewing gum or something. banking was much easier. But well, I enjoyed living wherever I was.
Did you ever have any opportunity to work for the bank in Rockford, in Brownsburg?
Seemed to me like somebody said something to me about that one time.
Matty Wade is the one I'm thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Matty Wade.
Yeah.
Matty Wade works in the telephone company, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to think of her name a while ago and it wouldn't come to me.
Yeah.
But,
well, the bank there in Brownsburg was always open when y'all were growing up, right?
Yeah, right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, John Wade worked there one time. He played baseball. I used to try to get out there in time to Brownsburg when I was a youngster, and I'd take my glove and go out there, and the guys would show up to go somewhere to play baseball, and I was, you know, once in a while they would invite me to go with them. that was quite a treat.
Yeah. Well, again, thank you very much for your responses to these peculiar questions. And if you think of anything else at any point we can add to it, this will be transcribed into written form,
mm-hmm.
and I will send you a copy
of
it. And at that point, I'd like you to read it over, and, as Roscoe as well. And if there are any corrections, particularly misspellings of names or things like that, we want to try to get them correct as much as we can. And then we'll redo what, you know, if there are any changes that need to be made, we'll have them done as well. And eventually you'll get a copy of it.
Okay.
Well, I should appreciate your effort because there's a lot of work for you.
Well, I don't mind doing this kind of work. This type of work.
Yeah.
It's
the lady that developed our place over at Waynesburg. She has worked, my gosh, she has worked awful.
Right. Well, we're...
That's her whole thing, man. You can't mention anything in there that's got to be done or something that she hadn't already got plans for. Mm-hmm. I go and help some. I haven't joined the organization. I'm not going to. I'm too old. But
well, you're never too old.
But I help them out quite a bit.
Good. Well, thank you all very much. I'm going to turn this thing off now.
Yes, sir.
And let's stop, I think.